Welcome to the Bridgepoint Church Message Podcast. My name's Andy, and I oversee our online ministries. Pat Benatar once sang, "Love is a battlefield." Okay, that may be a tad over the top, but you get the point. Relationships are hard. In John 13, 34, Jesus tells us to love one another as he has loved us. But living that out can be difficult as life gets in the way. In this fourth message of the series, Better Than Normal, Chad and his wife Nikki sit down for a raw and humorous interview with licensed clinical social worker Haley Erickson to talk about how to have that better than normal relationship, not only with your spouse, but with anyone we're in relationship with.
Hey Bridgepoint, this is Chad. I am joined by two very special guests, my wife, Nikki Bryan, in the house.
Hello, hello.
And Haley Erickson.
Hello.
We are continuing our series called Better Than Normal. Tyler has done a terrific job the last few weeks talking about how we can experience a better than normal life. In John 10:10, Jesus says that I've come to give life to the full, a more and better kind of life. So Tyler's talked about how that applies to our relationship with God, our finances, our family, and today we're talking about relationships. Nikki, would you like to give a shout out to your home campus there, the downtown campus?
What's up, downtown?
What a welcome. Tyrone, those watching online, those tuning in later maybe via YouTube or our podcast. But today's conversation is focused on how we can have a better than normal relationship, specifically marriage. So Haley, you're here because you're the expert.
Professing expert.
All right. Relationship therapist.
Sure. Yes. Relationship therapist. So we will be talking primarily in the concept of marriage because you are
married.
Married.
Yes. Still.
But
still
I think intact. A lot of what we're going to talk about today is applicable to dating relationships. Honestly, relationships across the board with your mom, with your sister, with your coworker. I mean, applying these to any relationship makes it whole and better.
So you're very active in the community. That's how we met.
Yeah.
Well, we met in different ways, but that's a different story for a different time. but yeah, huge heart for people, fellow sister in Christ.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So you bring the kingdom perspective and also the therapist perspective, which we can greatly use. So here's kind of our strategy for today. Nikki and I are going to go through couples therapy.
Woohoo!
Possibly for our embarrassment.
Definitely.
Hopefully for someone's benefit, right?
Yeah.
Babe, you ready to go through couples therapy together?
I think so.
We've never actually done this.
No.
We've always, not just you, we've always wanted to.
Yeah.
What's a better time than publicly?
Right. Let's just...
on stage.
Throw our dirty laundry out there. Let's do it.
So, Haley, as you said, these kind of principles, relationship principles apply to all relationships.
I believe so.
Single and content, single not in... content, dating, married and content, married and not content.
Sure.
Okay, whatever your status is.
Sure.
How about even those who are in a relationship that's not healthy?
Sure.
What should a person be feeling in this conversation?
Great question. So yeah, if you're in a relationship that is harmful or toxic, then some of these principles could potentially actually be worse for you to follow through, because there's a step before improving a relationship. If we're in a harmful relationship,
right,
is to seek help first, right?
Right.
And doing that in talking to a safe person about the harm that you're in. And I don't want you to hear these concepts of I can save this harmful marriage by doing these things if
right.
we have not first sought help. Does that make sense?
Right. No, that's a good word. And whether it's at downtown campus or Tyrone campus, and even actually online, there's someone there online as well. But we have prayer and care available.
Sure.
And that could be a safe space for you. Just if you just, your next step is to share with someone.
Yeah.
Right. To help navigate what is the next step.
Right.
And get getting,
to get safe
getting help.
And then help, right? Safety always has to come first, sure.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you. So, Haley, feel free, as I think you do, to completely rebuke us.
Here I go.
Embarrass us. But here's the question. How can Nikki and I have a better than normal marriage?
Here we go.
Do you agree with that question, babe?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's do it.
We're in on
this. So interestingly, that's actually a really common reason why couples would come to couples therapy, right? Is that maybe there isn't something glaring that's wrong or some issue that they're gridlocked on that they need to fix. But they're just like, hey, we're happy. We like each other. We're cool. Maybe we disagree, conflict some here and there, because we all do. But we want to be better. Like there's this concept of how can we be more whole and more intimate, right? So what I'm going to do is ask you, we're going to do a quiz. Okay.
Okay.
So I did not.
Let's do it.
This is true. They kept asking me prior to this situation, how can we prepare? How can we?
Chad kept asking you.
Good point.
Nikki didn't.
Nikki's not interested in preparation. Chad kept asking me, how can we prepare? What are your points? Da da da. And I kept having to say, I purposefully want to put you on the stage knowing nothing, because I want the raw reality of what is your answer to these questions, right? So that's what we're going to do. And then I'll spend a blip kind of giving some information on it. You ready?
Disclaimer, I did prepare by listening to multiple playlists of the best love songs of all time.
Amen.
So I'm going to bring that knowledge.
Yes, there you go. All right. So either person, I don't care who goes first, just you, whoever feels like it, pop off, okay? So question one, true or false? God will teach you how to love your spouse.
Pop off, Nikki.
True. I think God's word does give a lot of helpful advice.
Okay. Would you?
True. The example of Jesus, if you take that out, there would be no point of reference, I think, of maybe of what love is. So that's probably is the teacher.
Yes. Okay. So here, I started with an easy one because I don't want you to like
fail
early.
Is it a trick question?
Yeah,
it's a bit of a trick question. But so yes, true. But let me talk sort of more practically how. Okay. So ultimately, the life that we live with God is, in fact, just what you said, Chad, about learning to love God. That's the whole purpose. So that we can learn to love other people and share his mission, yeah? Well, one of the best, I think, arenas for in which to learn how to love is in marriage, right? Because it's the toughest relationship you probably have ever been in, right? It's so close that it's tough. So 1 John 4:20 talks just about that, right? About saying, if I love God, and then therefore I must love people, right? That's really ultimately the point there. But let's talk about practical ways on how to do that. Praise, pray for, and ask for help, okay? So of these three in my marriage, I'm really good at asking for help. But the stance that I do that is, God, can you please help my husband realize that I am right? Do your work, right? I do a whole lot of asking for help, okay? But let's back up to praise. Let's say that I said, okay, guys, you're tasked with writing down 50 things you love about your partner. Go. All right, so you would do that, and you'd struggle probably around number 5 or 6 of that, maybe 10, maybe 15, okay? But if I asked you to praise God for why you love your spouse, you have now a new level of intimacy, because you're connecting that God gave that spouse to you in the form of a gift, right? You didn't do anything that deserves this partner. So God is like, watch me work. I'm going to create her perfect for you, and then I'm going to give her to you, right? So if you say to your spouse, hey, I love your hair, Nikki, I love how good of a mom you are, I love your cooking, etc., that's all great. But if you're praising God about the things that you love and you're acknowledging that he, in fact, created her and gave her to you, it's another level of intimacy. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm already a little teary-eyed. That makes a lot of sense.
I hear the spirit of gratitude is mm-hmm. being the thing that is kind of the game changer.
Yeah,
there.
Thank you, God, for creating this man for me who does the following. And I would say get specific in your praises, not just thank you for bringing this husband to me, right? Specifically, what do you admire about your husband? But do that to God, okay? Second would be pray for your spouse. So that's another thing. We're really good at connecting to them and saying to them, hey, you know, I hope you have a really good day with that meeting. I know it's going to be a tough one. I hope that it all goes well with the kid who's homesick or whatever it is. You're constantly reaching out to them. But have you talked to God? about the very thing that you're wanting to pray for that spouse. So pray to God. God, send him encouragement. Send her peace. And first, the point is we want to move our bodies up to God first and then back down to our spouse.
Why do I stink so bad at that?
Same.
And even when I think about it, like, I should be praying for Nikki. My gosh, I don't pray for Nikki.
Right.
Like, out of all people.
Of all people.
Right? And
I pray for you.
I know. And I feel that guilt. Ding. And I feel that shame.
Sure.
Even when those thoughts come up, right? Sure. I think, oh my gosh, why is it so hard? Or is that just a personality thing? You know, we all have our struggles. That's just mine.
Sure. Well, and if it is yours, which it's mine as well, I've like written it on a to-do list before. No shame in that. Hey, pray for Jake today, right? And that helps me to get into the habit of it. All right. So number three is ask God or seek God for your help for you. So the thing we want to do is ask God first, what's the kind of wife you want me to be right now in this moment? Instead of putting the emphasis on asking God for your spouse, cool him out, get him right, right? First, the first question is, who do you want me to be right now? My pappy, he was 95 when he died. Greatest marital advice I've ever heard in my life was from him. He said, marriage is a game of trying to outgive each other where the end goal should be a tie. So if I'm putting myself in the position of trying to outgive my husband, even in conflict, chances are really high we're going to win, whatever that is, okay? And remember this, too. I say this a lot to my couples. Do you want to be right or do you want to be well? So when you're talking to God, you can say, God, help me be well. Teach me how to be well through the following thing that's about to occur. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You feel good about it?
Well, and it's hard to talk about marriage without talking about Ephesians chapter 5 because it's the who can outgive each other the most. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think even throughout tradition and history, people look at Ephesians 5, you know, of the husband being the head and then the wife being the body. And well, who's in charge? But what Paul talks about is how it looks, and it looks by having a serving competition, mm-hmm. right? Who can give? And that our relationship reflects the way that Jesus has served us, so we serve each other. And yes, it probably ends in a tie.
Ideally.
If we're doing it right.
Yeah, if we're doing it right. That's right. All right, you ready? Question two, we got to roll.
Okay.
Is it okay for couples to live individual lives as long as they are respectful and supportive of each other? Well, I should say it is okay.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay,
what is an individual life?
True or false? It is okay for couples to live individual lives as long as they are respectful and supportive of each other. Go.
Go ahead, Chad. Pop off.
I have to answer true or false and then explain, right?
Yeah. Yes.
False. You should always have individual purpose. It shouldn't be just tied to someone else. But in a marriage, I've never experienced individual living. What is that? I mean, everything we do is together.
I was going to say true because you might have a job outside of the home, or there's just life that you do that's not necessarily together. We're not together physically all the time. So you're a part of, you know about my individual life,
mm-hmm.
but you're not necessarily purpose. Part of every second of it. So true?
Yes.
Dang.
False.
Check.
Yes. And true. Yes. It's both, right?
Oh!
You're both right. Yay. Okay.
Job,
so here's how it goes. In Genesis chapter 2, okay? Let me read this to you. He took one of his ribs, he made it into a woman and brought her to the man. Therefore, a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. Okay, so that's going to be our focal point, right, is to become one flesh. Here's the thing. When we're doing our individual lives, i.e. work, i.e. interest, which is good to have an individual interest that is not the same as your spouse, right? When we're doing that, just make sure that we are using respect, and we want to ask our spouse not out of permission, but out of respect. Hey, babe, I want to go play golf. When would be the best time for you for me to schedule that? Around nap time, 2 Saturdays from now, right? I'm not asking for your permission where you have the authority to say, no, you can't play golf ever. That's a that's a dictatorship. But I am asking out of respect because I want to do my individual situation in respect to what is yours. Does that make sense? So that's where Nikki's right. Yeah?
That makes sense.
Well, it's one person's decisions affect someone else, right?
Right.
And you have the awareness
right.
of that.
So where you are also right, Chad, and I think your words are exactly perfect in that we have this individual purpose. That is great, but we need to spend the majority of our emphasis on building the we, our energy, our time, our money, on building the we versus the you plus the I, right? So what that looks like is the act of pursuit. Let me just take a big breath and pause on this word. If you hear nothing from what I say for the next 30 minutes or whatever it is, pursue or pursuit is the word I want you to walk away from in terms of building a better marriage, building a better relationship. We stand still with the expectation, known or unknown, that they're going to come get us. Prince Charming's going to knock on our door, right? Pursue, right? And if both parties are pursuing, we're in a good position standpoint, right? Okay. So pursuing looks like engaging your partner. I'm going to do more on that in a minute too. Does that, y'all with me?
Yeah, that makes sense.
So key to a better than normal marriage, what I'm hearing so far, mm-hmm. pursuit, mm-hmm. pursuing each other.
Mm-hmm. In the form of we.
Okay.
Right? So time, money, and energy are going to the we. Majority. Minority goes to your golf. Minority goes to your wine nights or whatever it is you do, right?
Oh, God bless those, yeah.
Your nails, I don't know. All right, question three. True or false? The best way to increase intimacy in your marriage is to take 2 romantic getaways per year.
False? I mean, that's not even feasible for most people.
For that reason, as a parent of 3 kids, I'm scared that the answer is true. So I'm hoping that it's false.
It better be false because it ain't happening.
I love it. I love it. Your word, feasible. You're exactly right. Here's the thing. Yes, romantic getaways are important to every marriage. If you could make it happen, whether it's once a year, whether it's driving to Jacksonville for all I care, whether it's putting in $100, saving up, and you go to the movies and stay out a little bit longer than you normally would, you burden your mother with those kids. I don't care how you make it happen, but ideally, romantic getaways and getting away from the norm, the children, the house, the family, is imperative to a marriage. True. But it is not the secret to long-lasting marriage, right? If we can add it, it's a great benefit. Genesis, at the end of Genesis 2:24, the very end part says, "And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Okay? So here we're talking about intimacy, right? My favorite part.
Why is everyone looking at me?
Right? Da, 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 da. Physical intimacy in the form of sex, yes, but also in the form of physical embrace, pursuit physically, and emotional intimacy is where we're going to go, okay? So what extends the longevity of a marriage is friendship. Being best friends, not just any friendship. Trying for them to be your best friend. So how do we do that, right? If she wants to talk, mute the TV and engage her. Listen. When he pulls in the driveway or she pulls in the driveway from the grocery store, get your tail up off that couch, run, and help her bring those groceries in every time without fail, right? If he hates more than anything the dishes, he just would rather crawl out of his skin than do dishes. And you could take it. Do the dishes, right? My husband makes my coffee every morning. And the reason is because I'm not a morning person and it feels like the end of the world to press start. Right? So he presses start on his way out. And that is how I know he's pursuing me. Even when we're physically not there, I'm still asleep. Okay? But more than that, let's jump up a little bit. The 6-second kiss. Okay? When you kiss, it's probably 1 second, maybe a tenth of a second because you're passing in the hallways, right? I want you to literally, the next time you kiss your spouse, count to 6 with your hand. 4, 5, 6. It's a long time, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that is intimacy. Let's grow it more. It takes the body about 20 seconds to release oxytocin. That's the love hormone. 20 seconds. So when you embrace for 20 seconds. And my crazy husband counts out loud. to 20 seconds. And the goal is daily.
Does that take away the oxygen?
I know, right? Like, oh, he does. And, you know, so the hug thing, right? Don't do the tap out on the back of the, you know, the back. Don't do the torpedo hug. I mean, embrace for 20 seconds. Okay. That's your goal. Claim your partner in public. Claim them, touch them, go see them, go find them, stand next to them, invite them into a conversation, claim your partner in public. That is going to make your relationship long. For heaven's sakes, please just laugh. Like, humor is the best anecdote to conflict. The best. Laugh and have some stinking fun. When you're with your best friend, you have fun. That's the point of your best friend's relationship, that girl or that guy that you're best friends with. Are you having fun with your spouse? Have some fun, okay? Y'all feel good about this?
I do. I like this advice.
So, okay, it's interesting to see the difference of dating and married. Because when we were dating, downtown Chicago, we're in college together, that's where we met, right? And I had no problem holding Nikki for a long time.
Yes.
I was hoping that it would maybe lead to passionate kissing.
Yes.
All right? And passionate kissing could become a danger zone for a college lad. So I remember sitting with the professor, all right? No one can accuse me of not being open here. All right, and saying, "Professor, I need help. I need help to manage this whole, like, we're not married. I don't want to, like, go too far. I want to honor Nikki. Like, how long should I kiss her for?" Mm. And he said, "Well, probably keep it at 30 seconds. And I thought, 30 seconds? I could do a lot in 30 seconds. Right?
Sure.
So I had no problem with the long hugging. Right? Tell me if I'm wrong. Or
you're not wrong.
I had no problem with long kissing. In marriage, right? I mean, isn't that kind of like the obvious tension a little bit? What you fight for is to
sure.
get that burn and that pursuit.
Sure.
Is it realistic to try to get that back? Or does it have to just be a different method than it was before when you're just raging with hormones and you're not married yet?
Right. In a way, once marriage is there, it's known and it's safe. And the comfortability of that is both beautiful and potentially negative. So you do lax up. You don't put your makeup on the same. And I'm not saying you have to put your makeup in front of your husband or else, but how hard are we trying to get them in the marriage? And it's more important on year 5, 7, 10, 15, and 35 that you are pursuing them and wanting them to be connected physically. Now, the realistic question is, yeah, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. And you might feel really awkward, especially if you haven't physically embraced in 10 years or 5 years or 2 years. It's going to feel forced. That is okay to feel forced in the beginning. Because what will that turn into? Eventually, it's the training for the marathon. You'll run effortlessly in time. You with me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you remember when we went from friends to dating?
Yes, I definitely remember.
Do you remember the morning? It was like, "Hey, we're dating." We had the conversation, mm-hmm. and I was getting a drink of water between classes, and you came up and ready to give me a hug. Remember how awkward that felt?
That was really awkward because we had been friends for so long.
We had been friends for years, and it now became romantic.
Totally.
And it felt a little.
It felt like I was hugging my brother because
yeah,
we had been friends.
Totally.
But we got there.
That stage didn't last long, though.
Yeah.
No,
it's so normal. All right, one quick homework piece there, okay? I want it to be your daily goal. Your daily goal. To share to your spouse one thing that you appreciate about them and one thing you admire them about them to their face. Now, this should be easy because if you're doing the God homework that I said on point one, where you were praising God for what they did, you've already done that work at 6 a.m. when you woke up. Now at 6 p.m., you're saying it to your spouse. Daily goal to what do you admire about them and what do you appreciate about them?
Can someone who's not married carry these principles as
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's true. Like even if it's a mother-daughter situation.
A relationship you value.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, ready? Question four.
Yeah.
True or false? My spouse really appreciates my advice.
True. You do. You ask for it a lot.
Okay.
I would say, yeah, absolutely. I would say if he's probably laughing because I would say if anything else, sometimes I'm like, okay, I'm tired. We've talked enough.
Valid.
Ultimately true.
But.
Doesn't always look like it or feel like it, but our faces lie to each other a lot, and so do our emotions. But I think after 11 years and 11 years of marriage, ultimately Nikki does appreciate it. We just might really suck at expressing it.
Okay, so here's the thing.
I think I'm worse at expressing that I appreciate his advice. He's much better at expressing that he appreciates my advice.
I'll take that.
Good appreciation. You're already doing the homework.
Yes.
I love it. You're winning. No, that's great. And it's good that you know your wheelhouse. That's the thing. If you want to be a better spouse to your partner, then you need to know who you are as a spouse, right? And where your strengths and weaknesses are, where the things are that you're better at and not. So that's really, really helpful information. Here's what I'm going to say. We're going to err on the side of this statement being false more than true, but it is true, ultimately. It's just a matter of how do we get there, okay? So if your partner comes in and they express a complaint about you or the world around you or the world around them, let's use the example of my boss is a micromanager and I just can't stand him and he was down my throat again today and I'm just using this space with you as my partner to vent, okay? The instinct for a lot of people is to get right to the solution. And they're getting right to the solution because they love their partner. They hate that their partner is hurting and they want their partner so badly to feel relief. So they may say, well, yeah, that sucks that your boss is. Maybe if you just try, you know, getting there maybe a tad bit earlier than when you get to work, maybe he'll lighten up. If we jump to solution fast, we risk our partner's feeling dismissed. So to get there, you get to your advice, but we need to take the scenic route, okay? If you drive 4th Street from 22nd Avenue to 9th Avenue or to Central Avenue going south, there's some cool buildings, yeah? If you take Beach Drive, what do you experience? Dolphins, sailboats, palm trees, so much, right? In marriage, we cannot rush intimacy. So often as Americans, we're really efficient human beings, right? We're constantly on, oh, problem, solution. Oh, we got to get dinner going. It's almost 6 o'clock. The whole night screws if we don't go. Excuse me. If we don't keep going, right? So I'm sorry that happened to you. Maybe if you just get there early, then things might get better for you. Okay, all right, so chicken or beef, right? You can't rush intimacy. You've got to slow down. And how we do that is empathy and understanding. That sucks, babe. I'm sorry that he's down your throat like that. That would really annoy me if somebody was down my throat like that too. Pause, right? So I've done the empathy and the understanding on the front end. Now, if I want to give her or she advice, how I would go about that is saying, do you want my input? Would you like me to share any input here? Ask it in the form of a question. For the love of all things, don't share your advice with a period or an exclamation point. Share your advice with a question. You with me?
Yes.
Oh, we're
Why are you
we're,
laughing?
We're with you.
I need to know.
We are both very passionate people. We love to share our advice freely, openly, and with lots of exclamation marks.
I have spent a lot of my life running around telling people, well, I'm a problem solver. Well, I'm a problem solver. And that hasn't been that fruitful for my relationships with people or their benefit. There's a lot of times I'm learning that people don't want me to try to solve their problems.
Boom.
Right?
Or if they do, they want to feel heard first.
Yes.
Right? So let me just add one other quick little tiny caveat there too. Sometimes if our partner complains about something that's external, but whatever it is that they're complaining about happens to also annoy us, for the love, please do not teach them in this moment through another person. So for example, my boss freaked out on me because I was late today. Oh, good, because this actually annoys me that you're always late, so I'm going to use this opportunity to teach you that I can't stand that you're always late by saying, oh, well, yeah, I can understand completely why your boss would be annoyed that you were late. Maybe, you know, maybe if you need my help, I'll be glad to help you get out the door faster. That's called passive aggressive, and you are trying to communicate a message that's actually yours through the avenue of somebody else. Don't. If you want to teach her that it bothers you that she's late all the time, teach her later. Not right now when she's complaining. Does that make sense?
Empathy and understanding have to be genuine? Real
yes,
question.
Great question.
Because if she tries this on me in like 45 minutes from now, I'm going to know what she's doing.
Great question.
Is this legit?
So the answer to that is yes. But there are many people in the world who don't speak this. And I'm not going to generalize by gender, but often in my practice and in my marriage, the man struggles with this. And I've had men age 65 and above say, I love what you're saying. It makes all kinds of sense. And I want to do that real badly. But literally, I can't. I don't know how to do that, right? So with that said, and that's true for a lot of women too, by the way. Honestly, it's me as well, even though, because I'm a problem solver by profession, it's hard for me, especially in marriage, to not jump to problem solving. So that being said, yes, it you want it to be genuine, but sometimes you got to fake it till you make it so that you can start learning the process, yeah?
So this is the whole love is patient, love is kind thing?
Yes.
Right?
Thank you. Yes, that's exactly right. Love is patient and love is kind. Slow down. Slow down.
I think the temptation at times is to run that kitchen conversation with there's three kids hanging on us and a dog throwing up somewhere else. Right? And then you brought a new puppy into the house recently. Okay. So you have all that chaos going on. And I think my tendency is to run that conversation.
Yes.
Like I run a staff meeting.
That's right.
And that doesn't work out.
Good admittance, good understanding, because it's so true. And you want to slow down a minute and just say, you know, this is frustrating. You can even talk about your children behind their back, by the way. You can, if one of you is annoyed by the three-year-old's behavior, it is totally fine behind his back to look and be like, I know, I can't stand him, right? Because we're connecting, okay?
That's a good word.
All right, so final question, right? True or false, when y'all have conflict between you, it is best to keep talking until you solve it. False.
We're not falling for this. False.
False, false, false.
So much experience. We
let Nikki go.
No.
Let's hear it.
There's a verse that talks about not letting the sun go down on your wrath. And when we were first married, we took that very literally, that we had to figure out our conflict before we went to bed. And we'd be up till 2, 3, 4 in the morning, and it was a nightmare because we're exhausted trying to figure out our conflict.
Yes.
And I forget what year it was, but it was probably around year 2 or 3 where we decided, don't let the sun go down in your wrath, meant we went to bed saying, I love you. I love you too. We'll figure it out in the morning.
Couldn't be said any more brilliantly. In fact, that's literally on my notes, almost verbatim.
A lot of pain.
I'm not shaking because I'm brilliant. I'm shaking like that. It was a hard lesson.
It was advice given to us too by believers as well.
Yes.
Like, no, stick with it. Don't give up. And we're like, this just isn't working. We're losing so much sleep.
Yes.
And we're getting worse as it gets later.
Yeah, that's right. So the externals get in the way of conflict. Exhaustion, had a terrible day, hormonal change in your body, hunger, hangry. Yes.
No food, no fun, Nikki.
That's right, girl. And you are spot on. In fact, the second best marital advice I got was not from Pappy, but from my grandmother, who said, go to bed angry. And I quote. And she is trying to work against exactly what you learned again. And it's for the exact reason that you said. So let's do this, okay? In conflict, there are many of us, and that is me, who, because we're external processors, we love to duke it out, get it done, and move on. Frequently, internal processors hate it because their words are not together, they don't have their concepts together, and so to be forced in a situation to express how they feel and what their requests are is overwhelming and they need space. If you're an internal processor married to an external processor, y'all together need to come up with the compromise there on what that looks like. That is my marriage, right? So sometimes I make the request, can we do it now? And sometimes he says, I really can't, and I have to respect that. Other times he's like, all right, I'll try, but forgive me because it's going to be hard, right? Other times he says, I need 72 hours on this one, Haley, right? So that said, a couple things about this. You ready? Number one, soothe. So when we've had conflict in our marriage, we need to go to make a repair attempt to that person, okay? And the goal here is to find a way to bring us back together. I love your words, Nikki. At night, if it's happening at night, which it very commonly does, you say, listen, I love you, I'm for you, and I'm committed to you. I don't like you right now, but we're going to deal with this tomorrow, okay? The big thing there is make a promise as to when you're going to come back and do this and show up. Don't say we'll do this tomorrow and not come, right? And if you'd say we're going to do this tomorrow and you need more time, say, I know I promised today, but I had a really rough lunch, whatever meeting, and I need one more time. Can we do it after the kids go to bed? Can we do it tomorrow? Does that make sense? So reschedule, but always show up. Okay. A huge thing in marriage is people say they're going to do something in terms of talking it back out and don't. Okay. So the very first thing you want to do when we're making a attempt to repair from conflict is soothe your own body first. Soothe yourself. If you're inflated, if you can feel your heart palpitating, now is not a good time. Get alone, in the shower, in the closet, breathe, and get the body system down. Second, your goal is to soothe your partner. I know that this has been really rough, and I just want us to both kind of calm down together. You're not telling her to calm down or him to calm down, but you're saying, I just want us to bring it down so that we can be effective. And maybe you say, do you need some space to do that? I'll be glad to give it to you. You with me? Number two, engage them with a soft tone. Okay, so repair attempts can look like this. Hey, babe, there's been that awkward silence in the car, and then you need a minute, and you say, hey, babe, did you see those horses over there? They're so pretty, right? Right? That is a repair attempt. Even though I did not say, I messed up back there, I'm sorry, can we get back on the same page? That's the most ideal, but it's okay to repair attempt by bringing your spouse back in, engaging them, okay? The emphasis on that is your spouse has to accept it. If she says, yeah, I saw him, that's not a repair. That's not a recept, accepting it. But she might say, yeah, I saw him. Brown is my favorite color of horses. I see it. And we might be able to finish this car trip great. And we may not have to recircle. Okay? Sometimes we do. If we need to recircle, if it's a big enough event, we're going to go to number three, which is understanding and agreeing. I understand where you're coming from back there, and I agree with the part where you said blank. I understand, and I agree with the part where you said blank. Four, ownership. Best case is to do that if you can. Hey, I messed up back there, and I can see my part in this. Before you start telling her what her part is, or him what his part is. And then five, request. Complain, don't blame. You'll never forget that. State what you need or want in the form of a question, okay? Not, you never show up to the dinner table on time. You're always on your phone. No, I would really love it if when we're sitting here before our couch TV time, if you didn't get on your phone, would that be something you're willing to do? Okay? And for the heaven's sakes, be polite. You're polite with your friends. You're not polite with your spouse. Pleases and thank yous, appreciation, and don't let it build up. You feel good? You feel like whole and better?
Yeah. That's good advice. I think the only thing I would point out is I think sometimes we've both been in a good place, or one person's in a good place and really trying, and maybe someone else isn't. Like, you're like, I'm trying my repair attempt. I am trying. I am praying for my attitude, and yes. They are not coming around.
Yes.
And that can feel like you're going nowhere.
So awkward. It can feel so awkward.
Good word.
You feel that tension. And
you're like, I'm
when can we talk about, how do we live in the in-between when we know now is not the time to talk about it? And mm-hmm. I heard some of those principles.
And maybe you're there, but your spouse isn't.
Yeah.
So the answer to that is what I call the slow pitch. If you talk to any MLB baseball player, those balls are coming in at 95 up to 102 miles an hour. The slow pitch feels like forever. So sit back and wait. Put your weight on the back heel. Keep being the wife or the husband that you want to be, and wait. They will come. If you go try to get them, they will run.
That's a good word.
Yeah.
All right, so can we go back and just make sure everybody feels good about these 5 points? Okay.
Yes.
So number one, love your spouse like you love your God. Okay? And the way to do that is praise your spouse to God, pray for your spouse to God, and ask God for help related to you and your spouse. Number two, live life together rather than separate. This is the word of pursue. Pursue your spouse and put the emphasis and the effort on the we versus the you plus the I. Okay? Number three, turn towards your partner, seeking connection. Day by day love connections, the long kiss and the long hug. Be willing to be influenced by your partner, share that power, laugh and play, claim them in public, okay? Number four, seek to understand and empathize with your partner. Take the scenic route. Give them the line of empathy. Give them the line of understanding. And then if you want to add input, ask, is it okay if I add some input here? Would that be okay with you? And then finally, number five, seek forgiveness through the avenue of repair attempts. And that's the one we just talked about. Soothe yourself, engage your spouse, say that you understand and agree to the parts you do, own your crap, and then make a request. Right. Woo!
Thank you.
Marriage
Haley.
Therapy in we a nutshell.
Could,
thank you.
We could stay right here for 3 weeks, right?
Yeah. I know, I was assessing your body behavior all along, and I saw a couple of yellow flags, but we'll have to do that in session two.
So Colossians 3 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other, maybe repair with each other, and forgive one another.
Yeah.
If any of you has a grievance against someone, can't relate, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. I think that's the thing that for as believers, that's what makes it different in marriage. Not that we're different in struggle with anyone else, right?
Right.
But it's constantly when we're frustrated with each other, right? When we go to God, it's, all right, God, how do you treat me? Right? And I know I have to pray, help me to bring that to Nikki. Right? And I think that's kind of our centerpiece. What's the one thing that kind of stood out to you, babe?
I think that it just, as we were talking about repair attempts, I don't know why that hit me, but I think that we all do that as a way to kind of heal. And I think it hit me like, I want to accept those more because sometimes I really reject them. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to accept those as means of an apology, or I want to move on.
I want to be with you.
Because I reject them more than I accept them, and good. I'd like to accept them more.
That's great.
Yeah, I need to adjust my problem-solving skills. And skills might be an arrogant perspective on that.
And just a tiny last thing I'll say. You know, God goes after the one. And in that verse, what we're talking about is God pursued that lost lamb. He pursued them. So that's how we pursue. And I know we ended on repair attempts, but the secret to long-lasting marriage and good and healthy whole relationships is to build friendships, not emphasis on repairing the crap. That is important.
Okay.
But if you're going to put your emphasis on one thing, it's build the friendship, build the best friend.
Build, not just always repairing. That's a good word.
That's good.
Thank you, Jesus, for your grace, right? Because that's what relationships are. And in marriage, I mean, from everything that I've learned from those who've been married 50 years right ahead of us, is it's about grace, all right, with each other. How about I close this out with prayer?
Yes.
All right. Lord, thank you so much for Haley joining us and for Nikki being a part of the conversation. God, as we try to live out the way that you treat us, your grace with us, your forgiveness for us, your love, the fact that we are dearly loved children of God and the freedom and the power that that gives us. Lord, as we try to figure out how to bring that into our relationships, as Haley pointed out early on, no one can say that we love you and then hate the person and the people that we're in relationship with. Lord, those are the trenches. It's easier said than done. So God, would you meet us in the trenches? Jesus, thank you that you are God with us, that we're not alone in this. Holy Spirit, thank you that you live with us and in us. And I just pray for every person, no matter the relationship, if it's single, and looking and strong desire for relationship, if it's married and struggling, if it's someone in the thick of a divorce right now and trying to figure out what their purpose is in life and where do they go from here, thank you, Jesus, that you are God with us, that your Spirit lives in us, and that we can find our purpose and love in you. Help us to bring that towards the people that we're in relationship with. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
That was such a powerful interview. I know I gained some really valuable insight to help me love better. During that whole section on listening before trying to fix the problem, it felt like they were talking directly to me. What steps are you going to take to help you love better? If you found this helpful, please give it a like and share it with your friends and family. We'll see you next time.